you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of scientific instruments.
Yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this morning is Wynn McLaughlin. Are you there, Wynn?
This is Wayne.
Yes, go right ahead. This gentleman is from the Idaho Freedom Foundation, and of course they're up there in Idaho trying to get people to, well, what is the goal of your organization?
Well, you know, we want to promote economic freedom and try to get people to experience the full potential of what this country has to offer by restoring liberty and then helping improve lives.
All right. So what are you doing? How are you working there in Idaho?
Well, the biggest thing is that in Idaho, you have a lot of legislators that like to tell people that they're, you know, constantly fighting for limited government and low taxes and less regulation. But when you look at what they're actually doing, there's not much of that taking place. In fact, just the opposite is happening. Government is growing. It's getting more and more invasive in people's lives. And as a result of that, people are having a harder time making ends meet, finding jobs, being able to experience the true wealth that this country has to offer.
Well, basically, is this because the people in the legislature don't know what they're doing? Are they plant? Are they doing, saying one thing and doing another? Are there powerful forces there in Idaho, as there are throughout the rest of the country, that is simply intent upon establishing a socialist or fascist society in America? Why is that?
Well, there are 105 legislators, and so I'm not going to give you a monolithic answer. We've got a number of different motivations. Some don't know any better. Some are influenced by campaign donations. Some are, I think, misled. Then you have people that are simply trying to expand government and tell their constituents they're doing something else, so they're actually deceiving their constituents in terms of what their actual legislative record and agenda happens to be. So there are a number of different answers in there. But, you know, what we try to do is we try to present good free market ideas. We let people know that we have those ideas that are in circulation. If they accept them, then that's, you know, certainly up to lawmakers to do that. And if they don't, then they certainly, the electorate can determine whether that they believe that they should remain in office or not. That's not really our part. But, you know, what we try to do is make sure that we at least offer up those ideas that run contrary to what a lot of the lobbying and special interest groups want addressed.
But are you having an impact? Because, I mean, because what you're describing is so vitally important. I'm sure that many of the people, you know, in government really don't understand what's going on, don't understand the implications of passing legislation. Much of the legislation sounds wonderful until you begin to understand how it impacts on freedom. So basically, are you having an impact?
We most certainly are. We're considered one of the most influential organizations in the state. With the information that we present has a lot of credibility with lawmakers. They understand that we provide a different level of information and expertise. A number of our bills have passed into law. Our ideas have been considered. We've managed to change the way in which lawmakers engage with the public. So, yes, we are having a tremendous impact.
I mean, Idaho, we've always looked upon, you know, is a very, very conservative state. But my understanding is that the liberals have sort of targeted that area to take it over. Would that be a fair analysis?
Well, what do you mean by conservative? Are the people in Idaho conservative / libertarian? Yes. Are the people they elect to office conservative / libertarian? Not necessarily. So I get calls from people all the time who are convinced that Idaho is, you know, such a so-called red state. They have a lot of Republicans elected, and so therefore no one needs to worry about legislation that would expand the size, scope, or role of government. And that's not true. And in fact, time and time again, people ask me about that, and they say, well, gosh, the state of Idaho must be a wonderful place for you to do business because you're promoting these values that must be so readily and easily accepted by lawmakers. It just isn't the case. I wish it were. Are the liberals targeting Idaho? Yes, they're targeting every state, and they've been targeting Idaho for a number of years, and a number of their compatriots happen to serve in office.
Well, I think it's vitally important that people understand there is an organized effort to change the structure of our society from what it was with a limited government to what it has become, and that is a socialist society. And really, America today is a socialist nation. We have far more socialism in America than they have in Russia, than they ever have in Russia. And right now, over 49% of Americans, 49% of Americans are getting some sort of government funding, whether it be Social Security, Medicare, food stamps, housing allotment, tuition, subsidies, and well, but from your point of view, what are the big problems facing Idaho today?
Where do you start? I think one of the biggest things that we are concerned with is the cronyism. The only type of economic development that many of our state officials know is cronyism, wealth redistribution, social and economic engineering. So, you know, we talk a great deal about those types of efforts where money is compelled to be removed from the pockets of people who earn the money and given to big corporate interests or in some case, companies that, have a desire to take that cash and, do whatever they choose to do with it. So, you know, we're having a long conversation about what lawmakers are doing to encourage economic development. What they do is they make the regulations so severe and the taxes so confiscatory that companies don't want to move here, and so as a result they create these programs to redistribute wealth, and then they like to take the credit if some company actually decides to move here when in fact they set up the very conditions that caused companies to overlook Idaho in the first place.
So basically, a lot of the economy of the country is contracting, and certainly as we look around, we see more and more Americans out of work. They tell us it's only 7.4% unemployment, but they use the U2 figures. If you look at the U6 unemployment figures, which are the real figures, it's over 14%. Calculated the way they did 20 years ago, it's over 14%. We'll be back in this moment with the bombers and folks, questions or comments, give us a call.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom for the Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of the listeners who've supported us throughout the years and helped keep the radio stations going. I've had the chance to meet many of you face-to-face and enjoyed every minute of it. For two decades, I've worked hard to keep our service fast and our prices low, and will strive to keep going for another two. Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com have no commission salespeople, no free reports, and no complaints. Nobody here will call you when you sit down for dinner. There really is a difference. Call 1-800-951-0592 and find out for yourself. We look forward to serving you with years of experience. We know what we are doing and will make recommendations based on your personal situation. Call 1-800-951-0592 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Well, Dr. Stan, I guess the morning with McLaughlin. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
My name is Wayne Hoffman.
Wayne Hoffman, that's what I thought, and my producer had given me a different name. Wayne Hoffman is our guest this morning. And what specifically is your organization?
We're a free market public policy research organization.
Well, how are you funded? How are you able to maintain an organization to contact the legislature there?
We are funded entirely by donors, private individuals, some corporations, but mostly private individuals.
And basically, you're able actually then to maintain a staff, or really for the people up there willing to chip in and contribute, so that you'll be there working with the legislature?
That's correct.
How long have you been doing it?
We'll be at our fifth year in January.
Okay, fine. Well, basically, do you think you're going to be able to influence or bring the legislature around to a more conservative outlook and really begin to reclaim the country, of the state, for the people rather than simply being utilized to benefit special interest groups?
Well, I mean, our goal is to educate lawmakers, certainly, and to, you know, arm them with information, and as well arm the public with the information they need to make the decisions they need to make, and to have intelligent conversations with legislators. There are a number of different issues that are facing the legislature and certainly city and county governments each year, and it's really hard to discern truth from fiction, so we try to provide the information that that they need to be able to make actionable decisions and intelligent decisions.
Well, now, is certainly we always think more of Idaho as, you know, a place where there's hunting and fishing and vacationing and sort of the Great Northwest, lumbering. But is there any industry there in Idaho at all, or is it primarily lumbering and ranching and things of that sort?
Well, there are a number of industries, as well as the natural resource industries, the hunting and fishing and the farming and mining, timber. You know, we certainly have a pretty robust high-tech sector. We have a lot of construction jobs, retail jobs. There are a tremendous number of different kinds of jobs, and in some respects, no different from a lot of other states, apart from the fact that we don't have, you know, for example, a big automobile manufacturing sector. But there are a lot of jobs out here that are both high-tech and low-tech, a labor force that runs the gamut from low-skilled to high-skilled and everything in between.
All right. Well, basically then, is the economy in Idaho doing fairly well, or are you having problems there?
Well, I mean, it could be doing better, and I guess it depends on what you consider doing well. I mean, if you use the, you know, latest, data from, you know, the Department of Labor and Employment figures, the U3 number, which is right around 7 or 8%, and then of course you look at the larger perspective, the U6 number, you're probably more around 15 or 20%. I don't consider that to be a good thing, and I also think that, you know, again, like a lot of other states, Idaho sets up a system that encourages unemployment and dependence on government, which is obviously problematic, and denies particularly young people the economic opportunity that they would otherwise experience if the government hadn't interfered. So I would tend to think that, you know, all things being equal, like a lot of other states, we're in a pretty bad situation, but it's like a lot of other states.
Well, I think every state in the United States today is under pressure to expand the government welfare programs. And the problem is we just, frankly, can't afford them. I mean, the federal government, for all intents and purposes, is bankrupt. They tell us we have a $17 trillion debt. But if you really calculate it, of course, generally accepted accounting principles, it's over $80 trillion. And the states are certainly, most of them are head over heels in debt. And I don't see how they're going to be able to continue holding up. Well, our telephone number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. If you have a question or comment, and I believe we have a caller. Who's calling in?
Good morning, Dr. Stan. This is Bonnie from Northern Colorado. Dr. Stan, I believe I heard this on your program, and since your guest speaker here is from Idaho, I'd like to know if he has any more information on this town that's supposedly around Boise, Idaho, that's only Chinese. The Chinese have taken over the whole area, and I guess they can have Chinese law or whatever in that square mileage that Idaho has given him. Given the Chinese, can your guest expound on that? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right. I've never heard of that, but do you know anything to talk about that, Wayne?
I don't believe that that's accurate.
I'm sorry, what?
I said I don't believe that's accurate. There were some rumors a number of years ago. We have no information to suggest that that information is accurate.
All right, fine. Well, because there's a lot of rumors to get out. You know, one thing we can do is try to clarify issues. So I think I can assure our listener there in Colorado that if the people in Idaho don't know anything at all about this town that's supposedly been taken over by the Chinese, it certainly is probably not a factor at all. But do you have any Chinese, major Chinese interest up there in Idaho? Because, of course, the Chinese are trying to unload their dollars and buying up large mining industries and their homes. I've heard as many as one.
You know, there have been some attempts to create foreign trade zones across the state and some cities that have actually done that. And I think probably the biggest case is in eastern Idaho, a little town called Pocatello, about 50,000 people, and there was a Chinese government-owned company called Hoku, which planned to open up a big manufacturing plant there. The state of Idaho rolled out the red carpet and provided a lot of funding and underwriting and, again, wealth redistribution in order to get that plant going. This was about 2007. The plant never got up and going, and today that plant is mothballed and a huge expense and burden to the taxpayers who subsidized what has now become a real waste of time, energy, and effort. And, of course, taxpayers are still stuck with the bill.
Well, I think that's a tragic commentary. You know, the thing is, it's not the function of government to put out money to encourage companies to come in. When you do, and we've seen this over and over again, why many times the companies are certainly are bust. I know one of the companies that Obama funded up to $400 or $500 million, and I forgot what it was, but they were large contributors to him, and the government gave him $400 or $500 million. They went down the tube. And how do you feel about that? This idea of government subsidizing companies to get them to come in, is this a good idea?
Well, as I said, it's one of the biggest things that we battle, and Government should stay out. Government shouldn't have any role to play in the economy whatsoever. Everybody should be treated equally. You know, and I just wrote a commentary about an issue in southern Idaho where the state of Idaho and the local community rolled out the red carpet for a company, providing all kinds of incentives and taxpayer-funded grants and support, and referenced another person in the same community, a gal named, who I named Bianca. That's not her real name, but, you know, people are really nervous about getting their information out in front of government regulators, and she's basically subsidizing the companies that have come to town with her tax dollars. So she is working diligently on a product with her husband in their home. They're planning to lease a business or lease some office space and to eventually locate and hire some employees. But while she's doing that, she has to subsidize all these other companies that the government has given favor to. And in fact, you know, she has to go through the usual process for having her permits and applications considered by a state and local government. But the companies that have come to town, they get expedited and preferential treatment. So, you know, that's a real problem. So she says to me, you know, it's hard enough getting one business off the ground, but it feels like I'm expecting to get three businesses going. And it's really true. She's got her own, and then she's got the two big businesses that she's supposed to help pay for. When the government officials come to town to talk about what a great job they've done bringing those companies in, they don't talk about Bianca and her husband and all the other businesses that are helping subsidize those companies, nor do the state offices or employment agencies or chambers of commerce or departments of commerce do anything in terms of providing a high alert or equal type of treatment to Bianca. They're given, you know, a raw deal, and the other ones are treated like royalty when they walk in the door. It's just unfortunate.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It is not the function of government to encourage one industry at the expense of others. And, of course, you know very well in your heart of hearts that basically the people, the government officials that are subsidizing industries in many instances getting a kickback, that's the way the system works. And that is why government should not be subsidizing industry. And then what happens is, with this case, the federal level, $500 million, just gone. The Obama administration, though, did get some very nice political contributions from that company. Well, we have another caller. Again, our number is 877-254-7524. Who's calling in?
Good morning, Stan.
Who is this?
This is Ann, and I'm calling to find
again,
out
please.
If we, you know, United We Stand, if you can help us link to other states to do the same thing, meaning if you're effective in pressuring the legislators to actually pay attention to Americans and American business instead of foreign interests, you know, it would be helpful if we were able to duplicate this throughout the state. Can you give us your website? Are you a 501c3? And Curtis Bowers is from Idaho. He did the DVD, The Agenda, Grinding America Down. And it's a major DVD about showing the communist infiltration of this country. Are you a 501c3? And is there a way we can leapfrog off of you so that we can be effective in our, you know, states, many other states?
We are a 501c3, and there are organizations like ours in every single state, sometimes more than one. There are a number of different organizations that they focus on different things, and they work with their lawmakers in different ways on different issues. But for example, the Independence Institute in Denver is a great organization that does similar work to ours. There are organizations, like I said, throughout the country, and we work with them on a number of different issues, and we try to again promote free market values and ideas.
Okay, and what's your link? What's your website or your phone number or whatever?
I'm hearing a couple of different people talking, but the website is idahofreedom.net.
Idahofreedom.net.
Okay.
Idahofreedom.net. And what is the name of the organization there in Denver that you mentioned that's doing a similar work?
The Independence Institute.
Independent Institute. Did our caller get that information?
Yes, I did. And can you tell me what classification, if people were to Google this kind of organization, how would you Google it? Meaning, is it called conservative action in legislatures or something or what?
No, this is a state free market public policy research organization. So they're not conservative, they're not libertarian, they're interested solely in free market public policies. They're not Republican, they're not Democrat, they're entirely nonpartisan. So what you're going to find is that these organizations simply promote an ideology of freedom and free markets.
Okay, that's state free market what?
Public policy research.
Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment. I number 877-25.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this morning, Wayne Hoffman in Idaho, the Freedom Foundation there, and they are trying to reinstill these concepts of freedom in the state legislature. If you have a question or comment, our number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. But you must understand that as soon as America was founded based upon the concept of limiting the power of government, so men could be free. But there is a very well-financed effort funded in large part by by the great tax-exempt foundations that then, of course, interlocks with many of our major corporations, in fact, the majority of our major corporations, which have been funded through our fraudulent Federal Reserve System, certainly creating artificial money, creating money that doesn't exist, and creating certainly an industrial base, which is amazing, but could have been created under the free enterprise system. It is not centralized power in the hands of people who believe that we need to, first of all, have a government that regulates every aspect of life and then utilize the financial and military power of the United States to bring about similar governments all throughout the world, which is why we have our troop station in 130 nations and now moving our troops into another 35 and more nations in Africa. And the American military and financial assets are used to bring about this one world socialist government, which is a total failure. I mean, basically, we have massive debts here in the United States that will never be repaid. And certainly the same thing is happening in California, where I live, the state of California. For all intents and purposes, it's bankrupt. We have debts we'll never repay. How is Idaho doing as far as your debt is concerned? Are you running massive deficits every year, funding your socialist programs, Wayne?
Well, the state is required to have a balanced budget, so there's not a lot of that. There are some issues relative to the way in which some of our local governments are acquiring debt without a vote of the taxpayers, and also with regard to our pension system, which is grossly underfunded and a huge liability to state taxpayers. I think those are some of our larger concerning issues in terms of long-term debt.
Well, this is a disastrous situation for states all across the country. I mean, they made pledges and promises to provide pensions for retiring state employees that can never be met. And of course, the reason that occurred is because the state employees union has actually, I certainly put pressure on the legislature, and they've got people elected to the legislature who go along with establishing pensions that can never be funded. Same thing is happening with many corporations. Many of them certainly don't have the money to fund their pensions. And basically, of course, this is happening all across the country. And I really believe, of course, when push comes to shove, even major corporations like General Motors, they don't have the money to fund their pension funds. What's going to happen when this whole house of cards comes down and there's no money to actually fund? This is what's happening in the city of Detroit. They don't have the money to fund the pensions that they've led to provide. What's going to happen, Wayne?
Well, I mean, they're going to continue to go back to the taxpayers and demand more money from them, and that's basically what they've been doing now for the last several years, and it's unsustainable. It's obviously a huge burden on the economy, and the trick is to get again legislators and other policymakers and certainly the public to understand what a huge concern this is.
And I agree with you. I'm very, very concerned that a lot of the people, you know, who have been spent maybe 10, probably 20 or 30 years of their lives working for either government or industry, thinking they're going to have a pension. They have enough money to pay out the pension now. They're simply spending the money that's coming in instead of investing it. But down the line, this whole thing's going to end in disaster. Is this your, more or less your opinion?
I don't see how it goes any other way. We've watched in state after state, and I'm sure that when the politicians in Detroit and California worked on their pension programs, they probably thought they had a stroke of genius. And I'm sure the same thing is true for Idaho, but I see what the future looks like. 10, 20 years down the road, we're certainly not in as bad a shape as a lot of states, but the future is borne out by evidence, and that evidence is that it's a disaster waiting to happen.
Well, telephone number is 877-254-7524, 7524, and this is one of the major problems that nobody wants to talk about. But right now, one of the major reasons that Detroit is talking about going bankrupt, and it is because of this massive pension load. And we know that this is true in California, where we have massive deficits that can never possibly be met. And I'm sure that Idaho is certainly not too far behind, as are most of our states that have made these pension commitments and have massive, of course, numbers of state employees. And unfortunately, many of them, I think, in fact, the whole financial structure of our nation has turned from being one of free enterprise, reliable, and pay-as-you-go to, we'll just pay it sometime in the future, and somehow or other we're going to come up with the money, and it's just not going to work. Well, basically, what are the major problems facing Idaho that you are working with?
Well, as I said, getting lawmakers to recognize that crony capitalism is not a way to go, getting them to recognize that economic freedom leads to better outlooks for all Idahoans, fighting back against federal intervention in a variety of different ways, whether it's federal land control or the healthcare system. Those are the major issues that we're dealing with as we speak.
Now, what is Idaho doing as far as the Obamacare? Did Idaho go into the system, or are they staying out?
Idaho is implementing Obamacare. The legislature voted to the insurance exchange, and that's one of the biggest things. And several legislators are pushing for Medicaid expansion as well.
So, what is going to happen with going into Obamacare? Is that going to be a financial drain on the state?
It's already a financial drain on the state. I mean, for people who are buying health insurance and recognize that now their insurance is going to go up 80%, it's a big financial drain. And we're helping facilitate that here in Idaho.
So what do you think is going to happen now as far as Obamacare is concerned? How are they going to make this thing work? Even a little business like ours, which we have a little mail order business that helps subsidize our radio network. While we're hearing that Blue Cross is going to be canceling the policies and probably doubling the amount of money, we frankly can't afford that. And I think a lot of industries are going to be facing the same problem, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. The big problem, of course, is that the economic opportunity that our youngsters are supposedly going to experience, they can't experience it because more money is being taken out of their pockets as compelled by the government in order to help subsidize.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! With winter approaching, let's all keep an extra special eye out for our senior citizens. Check on them on a regular basis, especially when the weather is cold. Make sure they have what they need. Someday we'll all be in that position, and wouldn't you like to have someone watch out for you? That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. Brush Housing Authority, wishing everyone a great and safe fall and upcoming winter season. If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this morning, Wayne Hoffman from the Freedom Foundation there in Idaho. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. Give us a call, and I'm sure Wayne would be happy to address the issues for you. Well, basically, is there a lot of support from the average individual there in Idaho for what you're doing? Are you getting your money from any of the national foundations? Or is most of the funds you're raising are raised there, right there in Idaho, by people who believe in what you're doing and concerned about the size of government?
Most of my money comes from Idahoans.
And how are you getting information out about your organization, what you're doing?
To my supporters?
So basically, you're just communicating to them? Are you using email? Are you using regular mail? How are you reaching people?
We do all that stuff. We spend a lot of time on mail. We spend a lot of time on email. We do social media. We do a lot with the news media. We have our own news outlet where we talk about the stuff that we're doing and the issues we're concerned about. So, well, there are a lot of different vehicles that we use for the purposes of getting our message out.
Well, yeah, this is always so hard for what we do is how do we reach people? Because we do it through radio, and we do have certainly radio outlets that get into Idaho, and I think you'll be doing that program for us. Starts in Spokane, but it is hurt in Idaho. I think we're doing that later this week. And we'll certainly do everything we can because we believe, of course, your cause is our cause. And that is pointing out to people the fact that we're moving away from freedom towards socialism. People don't understand that a government that can provide for people from the cradle to the grave and can provide for industry and regulate industry, all freedom is soon lost. Well, do you think that overall you're making progress, that the people in the legislature are beginning to understand these concepts of freedom?
Well, I mean, it's always a work in progress. And, some days the magic works and some days it doesn't. But I do think that, there's definitely an impact. I know what the result would be if we weren't there. So I like to think we're getting there. We're getting somewhere.
How large a staff do you have? How many people do you have working, reaching the legislature? Or is it primarily just your effort?
I have 8 people.
8 people? That's a fairly substantial organization.
Well, I'd like to think so.
Well, I do hope, of course, that you are reaching the legislators and their staff. Can you actually get in to see the legislatures, or most of it has to be handled through their staff?
No, it's a part-time legislature, and the legislators are pretty accessible, so that's not a huge problem that we have at the moment.
Do you think most of the people are in the legislature for philosophical purposes? In other words, because they really believe in freedom, or do you think they're there for political advantage and for monetary advantage? What motivates people to want to run for the legislature?
I think most people are in the legislature because they get some kind of political value out of it, and it's about promoting, their political longevity. Now, there are people who are in the legislature because they do have certain values and certain beliefs. They want to impact the outcome in a way they believe will be positive, whether that's bigger government or less government, or they want to, impact a particular way in which a facet of society operates, like the public education system or healthcare. But there are quite a few who are there because they look at themselves in the mirror each morning and they see a future governor or U.S. senator or congressman staring back at them.
Well, I think, Kirsten, the major thing is that there are two basic philosophies, those who want to limit government so people can be free, and those who want to expand government because that's how we're going to create a better society. Would that be a fair analysis, do you think?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Well, some people want to limit government because they want men to be free, and they think that's the best way to have a better society. There are others who want to expand government and have government provide for the health, the education, and the welfare of the public because they believe that's how we're going to have a better society. And do you see this, certainly this stark division in these two philosophies within the Idaho legislature?
I think there's no question about that. And I think at the same time, there are folks who have no opinion whatsoever, and they are motivated simply by who can write the biggest checks and who's most likely to support them, you know, come election time.
Well, of course,
they're the folks that get elected and they say, I don't have an agenda. I just want to make my state better. Well, you have to have some kind of an agenda, because if you don't have an agenda, then you're bound to do just about anything.
Do you think there's any spiritual component to what you see in the state legislature? In other words, does a man's belief in God or certainly in the supreme being have any influence on their outlook as far as their political motivation, as far as their political vote?
Sure, and that also goes both ways. That can be used for good or ill. You know, a person who has a belief that they have a moral obligation to protect people from making bad choices, and therefore they put confiscatory taxes on certain kinds of products because it would be wrong for them to smoke or drink or imbibe in something that they believe is unethical or illegal. But there are also folks out there who believe, because their spiritual grounding, that the government being used as a vehicle to compel people to give up their money isn't a good thing either, because the moral obligation is for people to be self-sufficient. You know, they teach a man to fish type of ideology. So it works both ways.
It really does. Because my contention is that much of this is a spiritual battle, and it's how you look upon God is how your political activities and your political thought is certainly directed. Do you think that really a man's personal belief in God very often will influence how they would tend to vote in the state legislature?
I believe it does.
Okay, fine. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a fascinating hour. We'll look forward to doing another program that will be heard right there in Idaho. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds us often child abuse results from parental stress or parental substance abuse. Help put an end to this tragedy now. Report what you know to your local authorities. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 482-6783. On the air, because they care.
Western Stone Company takes this time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and I hope you enjoyed our interview this morning with Wayne Hoffman. He's doing what we should do. I hope you'll be doing there in Colorado and Wyoming, and you need to get to your state legislature. You must understand there are two worldviews. Either there's a God or there isn't a God. If there's a God, then, of course, we want to limit the power of government so men could be free and they could have a competitive world. And then, of course, there is a place for compassion and looking after those who are incapable of looking after themselves as far as their health and education and welfare. But it must be done at a local level. And then there are others who believe that men could create a utopia. And they believe, of course, we must have an all-powerful government that can provide for everyone from the cradle to the grave, without understanding that when you do this, well, you take away the incentive for many people to work, and that's why we have suddenly almost 10 million people on disability today. We have 56 million people on Social Security, and we have millions on unemployment insurance, and we have millions of almost 48 million people now getting food stamps. Suddenly one in five or six people is getting food stamps. And basically, it's a wonderful system. We have more socialism in the United States today than they ever had in Russia. We have higher living standards, but we can't afford it. And the country is crumbling. And if you aren't involved in this battle, why, you become part of the problem. Because, you see, there really are powerful forces that want to destroy America. They want to establish the dictatorship, and if you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand the spiritual forces at work behind the scenes. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to hear my talk on Agenda 21. If you want to know the background of how communism came to Cuba, you need to get our DVD on the World Revolution. This is a DVD where I interview the American ambassador to Cuba. We'll tell you, we brought Fidel Castro to power. We installed him there. He didn't win a revolution. He didn't have the support of the people. We installed him, and we knew he was a communist. Why? Because you need an enemy, ladies and gentlemen, to rally the people behind the government so people will give ever more control to the government. And, of course, we're moving rapidly towards a dictatorship in America. The whole financial system is coming down because we can't afford it. The debt is not $17 trillion. It's well over $85 trillion. If you use the GAAP, General Accepted Accounting Principles, and the system is coming down, they're going to destroy the value of your currency. They're going to impoverish the American people. And they intend to establish a dictatorship. And who are they? The members of the Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the book. You need to get that. You can get the book. You can get the DVD. You can get the CD. Get them all together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special. Go to our website, Radio Liberty.